This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Stephen Chick, and we are the La Jolla Symphony Orchestra. We're very happy that you're here. We're very happy that we're here also. And of course, as with all orchestra concerts, we'll start with our concertmaster, Peter Clark, and we'll tune the orchestra. So we'll be with you in just 1 second. You know, one of the things I love most about music is how it helps us remember our lives. Almost every big thing that we've ever done, I'll speak for myself, almost every big thing I've ever done has been accompanied by some kind of music, from birthdays when I was a kid, singing happy birthday, to the day I was married and it was accompanied by an enormous Javanese gong. But that's just me. But if you think back on your lives, I bet you can remember music that helped you know when there were things to celebrate or when there were things to be sad for or when there were things that were joyful or ordinary or made you angry. I bet there were musical moments that helped you remember those things. The piece you're going to hear, or at least we'll play parts of it, Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 5, is a piece about memory. Now, I want you to, well, actually, let's do this. Let's close our eyes. Close your eyes, and I want you to imagine a person at the end of his life. He's lived a full and rich life. So many things have happened to that person. And at the moment that he dies, and in his funeral, everyone who is there, maybe even including himself, thinks back on his life and remembers the things that happened. There were turbulent moments and sweet moments and sad moments and beautiful moments and intimate moments and moments of power. And all of those things happen in a life, and they all happen in the first movement of Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 5. This is a piece that works in reverse. It starts with a funeral march, very stentorian, very ritualistic, and it plays itself backward through the episodes of a life. Mahler lived from 1860 to 1911, actually. And this was the last piece he was tinkering with, really, as he died. He wrote the piece in 1901 and 1902, but really as he was on his deathbed, he was still making revisions. And so, in a way, maybe this is even about Mahler himself. The first sounds, you can open your eyes now if you haven't already. The first sounds you will hear are the principal trumpet, Ken Fitzgerald, playing the funeral march. A single voice, kind of alone, that stands for this man in this moment. And then when the orchestra comes in, it comes in with such power, and then such sweetness, and then such turbulence, that you can imagine this is a piece that sums up the totality of someone's life. We're going to play about the first 6 minutes of the first movement for you. Orchestra, I'll just cut you off when I've looked at my watch. We're 6 minutes in. And I hope you enjoy the beginning of Mahler's Fifth Symphony. It's one of the most famous beginnings of any orchestral piece anywhere. Again, thank you for being here. Here is the first movement of Mahler 5.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Ken, will you stand up, please? Ken Fitzgerald, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. It makes some noise, doesn't it, this piece? I think you're in San Diego, you're familiar already with the concept of the splash zone, right? You are in it. How many of you play musical instruments? Can I just see it? Wow. How many of you would please come to auditions next week? Yeah, let's give them a hand. This is amazing. This is the future of music right there. Absolutely. Excellent. So, how many of you play string instruments? How many of you think a piano is a string instrument? Piano is a percussion instrument. The great percussionists of all time include Vladimir Horowitz and Artur Rubinstein. Little known fact. How many of you play woodwind instruments, a flute or a clarinet or an oboe? Fantastic. Excellent. Excellent. And how about the brass? All right. Good. And what about the king of the instruments, percussion? All right. Listen, if you've swatted a mosquito in your life, you are a percussionist. So welcome to the club. So what we'd like to do is to show you, first of all, some of these instruments in isolation. The wonderful thing about Mahler is that he writes symphonic pieces in which much of the time you're playing together and you're making an enormous amount of noise and sound, but often you're playing very small, momentary, intimate chamber music together. And you often hear solo instruments playing completely alone. It's unusual. It certainly was unusual at this time in music history. It's one of the things we know Mahler for. And so what we'd like to do is to play the very beginning of the fifth movement. So we heard the beginning of the first movement. Now we're going to jump to the end of the piece, and we'll play just the part where we hear the woodwinds playing solo music. And you'll have a chance to hear... first of all, let's introduce people. We're going to hear Nicoli. Stand up, Nicoli. This is the moment which our principal horn. And Tom Schubert. We'll hear Tom, the principal bassoon. We'll hear Jenny Smerud, clarinet, and Carol Rothrock, oboe. Wonderful. And we won't go on, ladies and gentlemen. We're making this up, by the way, as we go. So you'll see we're just talking through this. We'll just play the opening soli section, and then we won't go on to anything else. So let's hear what the wind instruments sound like when we hear them separately. I don't know, did you notice, at least it seems to me, that all of those instruments have an individual and very special sound. It's almost like they have personalities of their own. One is shy, the other is outgoing, one is boisterous, the other is more modest. And then those are the solo wind instruments. Of course, there are other wind instruments that are playing in a whole section of brass. But let's take a listen to the strings right now. And we're going to play the fugato at number 2. Of course we are. And you're going to hear the string sections in order. We're going to have the celli first, all these cellos right here, you'll see that. Then we'll have second violins will take a solo. Then the mighty viola section will come in and take their moment. And then the amazing first violins will come in. And we'll hear, in fact, all of the string instruments section by section. And the winds we won't have you play. We're just going to play the string music. So here we have the string musics. Thank you.
thank you very much.
And could you hear each section coming in? It was a short passage, but really wonderful. Now, we'll get to the percussion later. You'll hear a lot of percussion. But let's move on to another topic. We've had a little chance to listen to the individual sounds. Now we're going to put them together. And I want to ask you another question. We talked about how we can remember a piece of music. But do you know that music, at least orchestral music, comes very often out of dance music? Actually, I think orchestral music comes out of either music that you can sing or the music that you can dance to. And you can tell really easily, because if you leave the auditorium humming the tune, that's music that you can sing. If you find yourself bobbing your head or swaying or tapping your foot or elbowing your neighbor or anything like that, chances are it's music that you can dance to. And right now, we'd like to play a little dance music for you. Now, we don't have a disco ball. We forgot that. That's my fault, really. But what we can do right now is in this music, which is a waltz, it's not a dance that you might know, but I bet anything that if you listen to it, you might find yourself nodding your head or swaying from side to side or even doing some hip exercises that I find myself doing from time to time. If you feel this way, go ahead and move along. Tap your foot, don't hit your neighbor, I think I was just kidding about that. But we're going to play part of the third movement from Figure 17. And we're going to play a fairly substantial part of it. You'll hear about 6 or 7 minutes of music. It will go from fast to slow, from danceable to singable. The entire orchestra will play, and sometimes only part of the orchestra will play. So you'll hear what Mahler does with the orchestra. He looks at the orchestra the way a painter looks at color, as a means to sketch or draw or paint a topic that he's interested in. So this is an episode from this man's life. You remember I asked you to imagine this full life. And this is an episode in which there was dancing and light and laughter. Let's listen. From 17. Thank you. Ted, would you stand up and show your horn? You had a solo there and we haven't seen it yet. Just stand up and demonstrate the trombone. There it is. You hear the trombone is a very important partner in the brass. We've heard trumpet, now we've had trombone. And Ken, would you mind standing up and showing, yes, the big guy, the tuba. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so happy to be here. And I just wonder in a couple of minutes whether anybody has a question for us. Is there anybody that has a question either for me or for the orchestra? Okay, yes, sir, what is your question? Is harp percussion. Yeah, wow. I'm going to turn to my doctoral students in percussion. Stephen Solick, you're defending your doctorate in two months. Can you answer the question whether harp is percussion or not? The percussionist's voice in the orchestra says, of course. Every sound that you would like to play is at its heart a percussion sound, I think. Yes, sir, in the blue shirt, I can see you right there. Can you tell me what your question is? Whoa, these are hard questions. Is the oboe a kind of clarinet or flute? Now, actually, I think the oboists would say that the clarinets and flutes are a kind of oboe. But you should know that the oboe has two reeds. It's a double reed instrument, and the clarinet is a single reed. So they're really quite related, and the flute makes it sound really very differently. So in terms of the sound production, the oboe is probably closer to the clarinet than it is to the flute. But they play close together, and they make sometimes a sound that is so blended that you can't tell one sound or one instrument from another. Somebody over here, way in the back, sir, with the longer hair. Oh, what is the instrument to the right of the bassoon? Jennifer, stand up. This is a really interesting instrument. All right. Raise your fists to the sky in a salute to the contrabassoon, the mighty contrabassoon. By the way, I would encourage you, when you hear an orchestra concert and you hear the contrabassoon, no matter where you are in your life, even if it's 20 or 30 years from now, just think of this moment and raise your fist. This will be a good one. Thank you very much. And that's a low version of the bassoon. And I think we have time for one more question. Is there anybody down front? Because I'm likely to be able to hear you better. Apparently not. All the questions are coming from back. Madam, your question. You know, we keep asking ourselves that. They just keep showing up. Christine has an answer to that. Because the answer is that there can never be too many basses, I think. That's right. The bass is nodding agreeably. And then you've had your question, and so maybe one more, and then we're going to play something. In the middle, madam. Caitlin, how long have you been playing your cello? 27 years, 3 months, 4 days, 45 minutes, and 22 seconds is the answer to that question. Congratulations. We've talked about all of the different components of the orchestra. We've talked about the way in which Mahler was looking at the life of a person, almost playing it backwards. We've heard different kinds of sounds. We've felt the urge to dance. Let's put it all together. Let's put it all together. We're going to play the entire second movement of the Mahler Fifth Symphony for you. You'll hear a little bit of everything in this movement, a lot of power and a lot of intimate moments as well. One thing about Mahler that you should know is that he spent a lot of his time thinking about the natural world, and many of his pieces have, in fact, quotations from the natural world, bird songs or church bells or things that you would hear outdoors. But in the Fifth Symphony, Mahler's looking inside. He's looking at the psyche of a human being. He's looking at the soul of a human being. And so when we play the second movement of this piece, something that is called, that is marked in terms of tempo as stormy, you can imagine what kind of inner world Gustav Mahler actually had. So it's our great pleasure to play for you. This will conclude this part of the performance, the second movement of Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 5.
Everybody stand up, please. Thank you very much. That was fun. Nice. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Ladies and gentlemen, the La Jolla Symphony and Chorus. This is the La Jolla Symphony Orchestra. Thank you very, very much for being here. Bravo, everybody. Really great. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.